Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You can tell where a Christian's values lie by examining his or her giving. One hallmark of a true believer is generosity. Today, what God wants you to do with the resources He has provided. To learn more, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on Disciplines That Grow Godliness, Pastor Lutzer begins a message on the discipline of generosity.
You have frequently heard the expression that money talks. Well, it does talk. Dug from the mountainside or washed in the glen, servant am I or master of men. Earn me, I bless you. Steal me, I curse you. Grasp me and hold me. A fiend shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me. Covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I'm just what you make me. Most of you will know that this is the third in a series of messages entitled Disciplines of the Christian Life. The first was the discipline of worship. The second was the discipline of meditation. And today we come to the discipline of generosity. The discipline of generosity. Everything that God gives us is a test of our loyalty. But money is a particularly accurate barometer of our relationship with God. In fact, the Bible is very clear that if you love money, you do not love God. Or to put it even more clearly, if you love money, you hate God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, how I wish I could convey to you, and I will try to do so with words, but to communicate with you and to let you know that what the Bible has to say about money, it says to us for our own good. You see, God does not want us to be deceived, and as we're going to see today, money can be very deceptive. And so God puts on the spotlight, as it were, and He shows us what money is really like to help us. The Bible is not opposed to riches. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about your need to make investments that get a high rate of return and yet have incredible security. That's what the Bible is interested in, investments at a good rate of return and security. And as we shall see in a moment, we'll have some instruction on how that can be done. The other thing that we need to keep in mind is some of the things I'm going to say today are so contrary to the omnipresent lies of society and the natural lies that grow within our own hearts, that some of you are going to be startled at what I have to say. Some of you are going to say that what he's saying sounds as if it has come from another planet. And as I stop to think of it, I realize that since the Bible comes from somewhere else other than this world, it comes from another planet. It's looking at money at God's perspective. So I want you to enjoy this. I want you to fasten your seatbelts, and I want us to have a soft landing in about 25 or 30 minutes. First of all, let me say, I'm going to speak to those of you who are poor. Those of you who are poor, and then later on, I'm going to talk to the rich. And I'm going to give you the honor of deciding which part of the message you're going to listen to. Now, I hope to God that because of your proximity to this PA system that you have to listen to the whole thing, but you make the decision as to whether you are rich or poor. Makes no difference. I want you to listen very carefully. First of all, to the poor, and the text is 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're new to the Moody Church, we want you to know that we always encourage people to bring their Bibles. As a matter of fact, that is oftentimes a sign of our own commitment to learning. It is important that you see in the text what it is that I am saying so that you know that I'm not making it up, and that the words of God will be imprinted upon your mind and heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Timothy is a little difficult to find. It comes after 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then you have 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's the 6th chapter, and for the poor now, if you're listening, I want you to notice that the Bible is very clear, do not desire to become rich. Don't love money, you poor people. Notice what the text says. Verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many and foolish, harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. We should not desire to become rich. We should not love money. Young man about 20 years old, drop dead good looking, said to me one time, I want to be a millionaire at the age of 30. Let me ask you something. Is there something fundamentally wrong with a young man who says, I want to be a millionaire by the age of 30? The answer is yes. Notice what the text says. Do not desire to become rich. It is a root of many different kinds of evil. Now, I need to say to you that if you love money, you have paid your ticket and you have to take the train all the way to the end of the station. Once you're on an expressway that says to Milwaukee, you are no longer on an expressway that says to Indianapolis. It is impossible for you to say, I'm going to love money and I also am going to sidestep the snares that the Bible warns about those who love money will fall into. It is not possible to do that. You say, well, what are some of the results of those who love money? What is it that they really do find out, either in this life or in the life to come? First of all, they discover a dissatisfied heart. They're dissatisfied. Dissatisfied if they don't reach their goal, that's obvious. Full of envy, full of strife. A funeral director here in the city of Chicago told me that one time at the graveyard, as the casket had just been lowered and the service was over, there were people out in the graveyard, these relatives, who were actually pulling out guns, threatening each other as to who was going to get the inheritance. Now, that's what I would call a dissatisfied heart. And money has a tendency, the love of money has a tendency for us to become like that. One day, some people came to Jesus and said, you know, my brother isn't giving me the share of my inheritance. Jesus said, I'm not going to get involved in those kinds of brawls. But then Jesus said, covetousness is idolatry. Beware of it. You will have a dissatisfied heart if you don't make your million. And if you make your million, you are also going to be dissatisfied. I have a friend who says to me, Lutzer, I know that riches does not satisfy, but I would like to prove that by personal experience, he says. Now, the fact is, the reason that riches don't satisfy is because God has created us for himself. He has created us for himself, and therefore, money cannot produce contentment. It cannot produce contentment. Notice in verse 5 in this passage, it talks about constant friction between men of depraved minds and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means to gain. Some people said, well, we'll get into the church and we'll get into this religious racket so that we can make some money. Not unlike what we sometimes have happening today. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out either. And if we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. Number one, it always produces a dissatisfied heart. Chris Everett, famous tennis star, in an interview in 1986 with one home in California, one in England, and another being built in Florida, admitted, she says, I have been enormously successful. But then she went on to say, but you have to find your own happiness and peace. I am still searching. O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their all in thee, and money cannot do it. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he who loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver. a dissatisfied heart. Secondly, a deceived heart. A deceived heart. We read the text in verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out either." It's that old line that says, nobody has ever seen a Hugh Hall trailer at the back of a hearse. When the question is asked, how much did he leave? The answer is very easily given, namely, everything. Now, I want you to imagine that you are in a jet plane flying over Indiana. And you are among 67 people aboard, and suddenly the jet plane begins to plunge towards the earth, and it crashes at 300 miles an hour, and everything is burned, and the bodies are burned beyond recognition. And suddenly you have 60-some-odd people standing before God, and there they stand. What have they brought with them? No American Express cards, no mutual funds, no bank accounts, no cars, no homes, nothing except what they have in their hearts. That's it. That's it. Where is the money that would buy them an attorney so that they could get out of the difficulty of finding themselves at odds with God? There is none. There they stand in the presence of the Almighty. You see, money is very deceitful. It is, if I might say, overpriced. It's overpriced because actually, when you stop to think of it, it cannot help you at the very crucial moment when you stand in God's presence.
I don't know about you, but those words are very sobering, aren't they? And even if you don't die in a plane crash, the fact is the time is coming when every one of us will stand in God's presence. And all that we will have is what is in our hearts. What a challenge. What an opportunity for us right now to make sure that our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ alone. And in that sense, we will bring Him along with us as we stand before the Father. I want to emphasize that today is the last day of our matching gift challenge. You know what that means? Any gift that you give will be doubled. And we do that so that this ministry can not only continue, but also that it can expand. Now, in a moment, you're going to be given some contact info, but I want to thank you so much for considering and praying about becoming a part of what we like to call the Running to Win family. Remember, this is the last day. Also, I might mention, the end of this month is the end of our fiscal year, and we'd like to be able to end strong, so that this ministry can not only continue, but it can continue also to expand. Right now, 50 different countries, 7 different languages. Why? Because of people just like you. Thank you in advance for helping us.
Next time on Running to Win, more of this frank look at the deceitfulness of riches and what Christians should do with the money they've been given. Plan to join us. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.